Sophie Mason Comes Back by E.M. Delafield. Have you ever actually seen a ghost? It wasn't, as it is so often, a flippant inquiry. One was serious on that particular subject with Fenwick. He was keen on psychical research, although it was understood that he took a line of his own and neither accepted nor promulgated arbitrary interpretations of any kind. He answered cautiously, "I've been what the French call a revenant, undoubtedly." "Was it frightening?" asked one of the women timidly. Fenwick shook his head. "I wasn't frightened," he admitted, "not by the ghost or spirit, whichever you like to call it. Still less have I been so by so-called haunted rooms with mysterious noises and unexplained openings of doors and so on. But once, in the house where I saw the revenant, I was frightened."
"Do you mean, wasn't it the ghost that frightened you then?"
"No," said Fenwick, and his serious, clever face wore a look of gravity and horror. We asked if he would tell us about it. "I'll try, but I may have to tell the story backwards. You see, when I came into it, everything was over, far away in the forgotten past, not just on the other side of the war, but right back in the late 80s. You know, horse-drawn carriages and oil lamps and the women wearing bonnets and long, tight skirts all bunched up at the back. In a French provincial town, naturally, things were as much behind the times then as they are now. This happened in France, by the way. Did I tell you? It isn't necessary to give you the name of the town. It was somewhere in the Midi, where the Latins are very Latin indeed. Well, there was a house, call it Les Moineaux, one of those tall, narrow French houses, white with blue shutters, and a straight avenue of trees leading to the front steps, and a formal arrangement of standard rose bushes on either side of the blue front door. It was quite a little house, you understand, not a chateau. It had once belonged to a very small community of contemplative monks. They'd made the garden and the avenue, I believe. When the monks became so few in number that they were absorbed into another order, the house stayed empty for a bit. Then it was bought by a wine merchant as a gift for his wife, who used it as a country villa for herself and her children every summer. This family lived at, well, in a town about 20 kilometres away. They could either drive out to Les Moineaux or come by the diligence that stopped in the village about half a mile away from the house. Most of the year, the house remained empty, and no one seems to have thought that a caretaker was necessary. Either the peasants round there were very honest, or there was nothing worth taking in the house. Probably the thrifty madame of the wine merchant brought down whatever they required for their summer visits and took it all away again when they left. There were big cupboards in the house, too, built into the wall, and she could have locked anything away in those and taken the key. The family consisted of Monsieur and Madame, three or four children, and an English girl, whom they all called Mise, who was supposed to look after the children and make herself generally useful. Her name was Sophie Mason. She was about 20 when she came to them, and is said to have been very pretty. One imagines that she was kept fully occupied. Madame would certainly have seen to it that she earned her small salary and her keep, and, as is customary in the French middle class, each member of the household was prepared to do any job that needed doing, without reference to my work or your work.